Hello, this is Les Melzer, coach here of the National Congress of Australia's First Peoples. You're listening to Right Now Radio.
So Les Melzer, from one of our human rights heroes to another human rights hero of ours, Graham Innes. As many people will know, Graham is the Australia's Disability Discrimination Commissioner, and I had the pleasure of chatting with him a little bit earlier this week.
Graham Innes, welcome to Right Now Radio.
Thanks very much, Ben.
As the Disability Discrimination Commissioner here in Australia, can you tell us a little bit about what your role involves?
Well, there are five portfolio commissioners with the Australian Human Rights Commission, and each has a focus in a particular area of discrimination. So we have disability, age, gender or sex discrimination, Aboriginal and social justice, and race discrimination. And really all of our roles are similar in the sense that we have a function to raise community awareness and do sort of public education, which is a lot of the presentations that we make either face to face or in other by other means, and then we have a role to encourage development of particular human rights policies and human rights activities, and to advise government on policies which might impact on, in my case, people with a disability. One of the things that I've been very involved with in that sense is the development of a national disability insurance scheme, which is taking up a significant slice of my work at present.
I'm sure it is, and I might come to ask you a question or two about that in a moment. But before we get to that, I mean, we often hear this figure of 20% of Australians having a disability of some kind. Can you perhaps elaborate a little bit on what we mean by disability in this context?
Well, disability is broadly defined under the Disability Discrimination Act. It covers any physical, sensory, intellectual or psychiatric impairment or dysfunction in the body causing a level of disability of some kind. It's a broad definition because the aim of the legislators almost 20 years ago was to ensure that we were inclusive of all types of disability. When the US passed their Americans with Disabilities Act, the definition is quite a bit narrower because it requires you to prove a significant restriction on life as a result of your disability. In Australia, we thought that was, the government thought that that was a very negative way to view disability and that you wouldn't want to have to go down that negative track before you argued the positives about inclusion and removal of discrimination. So the definition of disability is broad, and it's a definition followed by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and they indicate that 21% or just above one in five Australians has a disability falling within that definition.
Yeah, it is pretty remarkable to think about one in five people. If you think about your own personal life and the number of people that we know, that's a really significant number. Now, the other thing, Graham, that you just mentioned was the Disability Discrimination Act, and we're coming up, as you would well know, I'm sure, to celebrate the 20th year of the Disability Discrimination Act. And you're working on 20 years and 20 stories as a project at the Australian Human Rights Commission.
Yes, Ben, this is a project by which we'll have 20 short films made, 3 to 5 minutes duration, illustrating how the Disability Discrimination Act has changed the life of a person with a disability. And they'll tell some of the stories of the well-known or landmark cases under the Act, or story where the complaint process has been successful, or even perhaps, you know, a story where someone has actually had no formal involvement with the Australian Human Rights Commission, but the fact of the existence of the DDA has meant that they've been able to live their life in a different way, more free of discrimination or enjoying more equality. We hope to, or we will be launching those at a launch in Sydney on the 1st of March at the Governor-General's home at Admiralty House, and we're hoping to get broad coverage both of this launch but of the 20 short films to raise awareness in the community about disability, but also to encourage people with a disability to use the DDA more, because it's a very useful tool, but of little value if it stays in the tool shed, to continue that analogy.
And one of the other, I guess, valuable tools that's emerged more recently on the international scene, obviously, is the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability, something you, I know, like to refer to as DISCO. I guess thinking in the domestic context here and the DDA and what that means for people with disability, how do you see, I guess, ideally, the next 20 years evolving at the international level, having this really quite landmark UN Convention in place now?
Well, one of the important things that we often forget that the convention does is shores up the place of the Disability Discrimination Act for us constitutionally, because it reinforces the ability to rely on the foreign affairs power. That's probably something that only people like you and I, who are human rights lawyers, would get too excited about, Ben. But it is an important issue to bear in mind. But I think that the convention is an important international tool, and it is already demonstrating the change that it's bringing in countries to the way that people with disability are regarded and treated. And whilst that change is never as fast as we might like it to be, it's beyond doubt that there is change occurring as a result of the convention. The convention recognises that some of the rights involved in the convention can be what's described as progressively realised, that is, that they can occur as to the greatest extent permissible to a country given its resources, although other rights are immediately available. And what it does is really get governments to focus more on disability issues, make them more top of mind. And once they ratify the convention, and over 100 governments have now, it means that they put into effect a process which means that all of their population are included in things like education, employment, availability of community facilities, political life, et cetera, not just the 80% of their population who don't have a disability.
And returning to the domestic sphere and talking about, I guess, some of the really positive developments that have happened, the National Disability Insurance Scheme is something that in recent times has been really quite a landmark announcement. You're an avid tweeter, and in fact I'm an avid follower of you on Twitter, Graham, and I saw one of your tweets in previous days which talked about if Australia's disability system was a cricket team, only half its players would have bats. I guess in that context, how important is the National Disability Insurance Scheme for all people with disability in Australia?
Well, those who know me would know, Ben, that being able to put cricket and disability together in the one tweet was a pretty exciting achievement for me. But
in only 140 characters?
Yeah, that's right. But look, disability system in Australia is broken and broke. There's not enough money in it, and it's not well organised. It's not systematic. It means that there are inequities all throughout the system, and we really need a total change to rebuild that system. And that's what many of us hope the National Disability Insurance Scheme will be will do. If it is successful in going through Parliament and being commenced, and there seems to be broad support for it across the political spectrum, it will be one of the landmark reforms for which this government is remembered, because it's probably the biggest disability reform, I would say, ever in the history of the Australian Federation. It will make available services which will facilitate the greater inclusion of people with a disability into the community, which will be delivered more consistently, more equitably, which won't differentiate basically on whether or not your disability was came at birth or was acquired through some form of accident at work or in a motor vehicle. there can be so much differentiation based on that, and really, frankly, that's pretty irrelevant. The issue is that if a person has a disability, there is a need for specific supports dependent on the level of their disability, and this will this scheme will provide that sort of reasonable and necessary support to the 300,000 to 400,000 Australians who fall into that that category.
Now we're speaking with Graham Innes here on Right Now Radio, and Graham is the National Disability Discrimination Commissioner, and obviously you're a fierce advocate in that position and formal position, but Graham, in a personal context as well, you're also taking on your own battles, one of which is with CityRail, the New South Wales public transport system.
Yeah, well, I'm totally blind, Ben, and one of the things that happens to me on a train is that I obviously can't read the signage or the screens that on the train that told me what the next station is. And for 30 or 40 years, I've been campaigning on the need for announcements on trains. I've argued that since the DDA was passed 20 years ago, RailCorp or CityRail has been required to provide such announcements, particularly since the passage of the Access to Transport Standards in 2002. And they're still not doing it sufficiently. They do it on about 30 or 40% of the trains where there are automated announcements. That's done well. But on the 60 or 70% where there are still a requirement for the guards to make the announcements, they're not always made. And basically, I've lodged over 70 complaints now over the last 18 months of instances where that hasn't occurred. 36 of those complaints have been unable to be resolved by conciliation, and really I don't understand why they haven't been able to be resolved by conciliation, but they haven't, and they're now in the federal court, and we've had 4 days of evidence. We've got 2 days of submissions to come next month, and then hopeful of a decision early next year, which will confirm that RailCorp do have an obligation to do what they do with everyone else, that is, tell me where I am.
I guess like many of the matters that are, or issues that are faced by people with disability on a daily basis, it highlights how important the law is, but also how many gaps or downfalls we have in the legal system at the moment. I guess that's a whole other interview, Graham, which perhaps we can do another time soon, but thank you very much for your time. For people who might be interested in finding out a little bit more about the Commission and the work that you do as the Disability Discrimination Commissioner, where can people go for that?
Our website is www.humanrights.gov.au/disability_rights, or you could follow me on Facebook or Twitter. Just look for Graham Innes, GraeMeInnes, and I do try and keep those as up-to-date as I can.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for your time, Graham.
Pleasure to talk with you, Ben.
That was Graham Innes, Australia's Disability Discrimination Commissioner.
And can I also recommend that you follow him on Twitter? He's a real great tweeter, and I'll tell you about my favourite one, which has absolutely nothing to do with disability. But it was just after REM split up, and Graham wrote a tweet that said, was out for dinner at an inn. It must have been shorter than this, but to paraphrase in a longer version, was out to dinner at an Indian restaurant when I heard that REM split up, and I was so devastated that I collapsed. That's me in the corner. Graham Innes.
Graham Innes and Rachel Ball's sense of humour right here on Right Now Radio.